So Larry Gaines, we're going to pray for Larry. That's the only one we had on here, okay? So, Father, we just lift up Larry. Father, we thank you that you know all the details of the situation. And according to your word, and as we're even speaking about today, Father, we choose life. We speak life. So, Father, whatever's going on in this situation, Father, we thank you that according to your word, if it be a physical ailment, Father, that you brought healing for that, Father. And I even see the word of salvation, Father, that it's a total restoration and healing of our body in every aspect. So, Father, I just thank you for that. I thank you for moving in this situation and bringing complete and total restoration to every area, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. We just speak that forth in Jesus' name. Praise reports are awesome.
Amen. We got a lot of them today.
God's so cool.
Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Refuge Church is located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Sunday school starts at 10, Sunday worship 10:45, Sunday evening prayer is at 5, Sunday evening Bible study at 6, Wednesday Bible study is at 7, Wednesday youth group is at 7. If you have any other questions, you can contact Pastor Tammy Bailey at 580-729-0956.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction Realty, 580-225-0269.
Drew's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, located in Corn, Oklahoma. For all your plumbing and HVAC needs, call Drew's at 580-343-2525. A company that cares.
If construction was something to think about, the quality of life is not based on the ups and downs, but what you gain in these times. There's always something good in every situation. I know this can be hard to understand with all the bumps and bruises we encounter. It's not what happens that matters. It's what did you receive through that encounter. Encounters can knock you down or lift you up. The decision is yours.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour Power. Our guest for this morning is Jason Mung. His title is Profession Over Questions. Before you get back into your message, would you like to share with us where people can connect with you?
Yeah, you bet. So we do have a Rumble channel for the Fivefold Training Center. We meet right now still in our home on Wednesday evenings, 6:30 to 8-ish. We always have a fellowship dinner and just a good time in the Word. So anybody's welcome for that. You can reach out on the post. I am on Facebook, so if you need directions or where we meet, you can reach out to me there. On our social media, it's Rumble is where we post, and I do post weekly teachings on there right now. And that can be on it's on the Apple Store, on Google Play, and you can also download that on your Roku. My handle on that platform is Firewalker77, no spaces, and again, you'll see the beard. That's mm-hmm. How you'll know it's me. This is a defining factor in my life. So yeah, go check those out. You know, each week that thing just builds. There's a library of over 40 teachings on there now, so it's a good place. You know, and I encourage people to use that. So, you know, if you see somebody that's going through some things in their life, and it's a great tool just to be able to give them and say, hey, you know, share that channel with somebody and get them in there. It's just teaching from the Word of God. You know, that's my heart, is get back to the Word of God, man. Let's throw all that other stuff out the side. Let's get back to the truth of the Word of God. So I encourage you, you know, to use that as a tool for people. Pass that on. You're welcome to do that. So. See it.
All right, I'm ready.
All right, let's finish this, and then we're going to get into a few scriptures about trust and what that looks like. And we see this out here. So just kind of finish this up, verse 32, kind of going from there. When Elisha arrived, the child was indeed dead, lying there on the prophet's bed. He went in alone and shut the door behind him and prayed to the Lord. Of course, when we see he gets on, he lays on his body, and he does it twice. And sometimes, I want to touch on that just a little bit. Some people don't realize Jesus prayed twice once. And I tell them, they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah. So there was a blind man that he prayed for. And when he prayed for him, he said, now what do you see? And he said, well, I see stumps. Like, I see men looking like trees, right? And so what did Jesus do? He prayed again. And we see that here in Elisha's ways. He went over and he laid on the boy's body, and he said that his body began to warm, but it still wasn't done yet. And some of the times, you know, in simplicity, that's spiritual warfare. There's always an enemy that is trying to counteract. And we see in this situation how as we walk and function in that situation according to truth and life, in that way, you can eliminate those in a lot of areas, right? You don't bring that. You don't invite those things in by the things that you speak. But there are things that sometimes, like in this moment, it was death that was against him, right? And death is something that we have power and authority over. Jesus showed us that. Right? And so when Elijah was coming and he prayed and he didn't get the result that he had came for, then what did he do? He did it again. So don't get discouraged if you have to do it again, right? Pursue the truth. Don't let go. And even in that moment, because I know, again, from the moment from the first time to the second time, there's opportunity if you do not stand firm in the faith that you have in God for the questions to start coming up. And what happens when questions start coming up? Then you can find yourself wavering and falling off from the truth that you know that mm-hmm. you're there for, right? So if it doesn't happen the first time, so be it. Let's do it again, right? So don't ever discount praying again. And I don't care if it takes a third or fourth time sometimes. I mean, that's one of the things, even in the small things in my home, where somebody comes in and they're like, you know, oh, this is hurting, or whatever. And I'm like, well, let's pray for it. And so, and even my kids will do this. Well, let me pray for it. So we'll pray for it. What does it feel like? You know, 1 to 10, where were you at? It's a little bit better. Okay, let's do it again. And we don't just quit. Oh, well, we prayed and the headache's still there. You know, no. Like, this is for us. This is the truth of the Word of God. Lay hands on the sick and they'll what? Recover. Mm-hmm. So we continue in expectation. And even if we don't see it the first time, we're going to continue on. We're going to ask God again, come in this place and heal right in this place. And, you know, I see that as, you know, again, don't get into this weird stuff about God testing you, this, that, and the other. But rather, just continue in the truth of what he says. Even if you don't see it the first time, do not let anything else waver you from the truth that you know, and continue to pray forth and speak forth those things that you expect to see come about in those situations, right? So that's what Elisha did in here. The boy didn't come back the first time. Now, what is the significance of the 7 sneezes? I have no idea. But, you know, that's what happened. The boy sneezed 7 times, opened his eyes. Then what happens? Elisha calls the mother, says, come in. Here's your boy, you know. So I love, as we go through this story, it's not that there are not questions, but make sure that your profession is over the questions. Make sure that you're speaking forth the truth of God's word, the truth of what you know God's will is for that situation, and do not let anything waver from that. And what I love is we see through the story, even unto death, God will answer those requests, you know. So now I'm going to build you up and encourage you a little bit in trusting in God. So this will go right along with this story. So I want to go. So the word trust in the New Testament. I'm going to murder this because I don't speak Hebrew, but this is the word is betach. Is this word in the Hebrew for trust, and it means to hide for refuge. And of course, I'm the word guy, so I'm like, to high, well, what is to high, right? So high means to go quickly. So literally the word trust means to go quickly for refuge, to be confident or sure, to be bold, right? Trust is never timid. Trust is always bold. The English, when we go into that as a verb, the word trust means to rely on the truthfulness or accuracy of, and also synonymous with the word believe. That's what what the word trust means. To place confidence in, to rely on, to hope or expect confidently, right? An expectation and confidence, you know, it's almost like an oxymoron if you expect something in timidity. Like, that just doesn't make sense. If you're expecting something, then it must be with 100% confidence that I'm going to get it. That's what faith is. That's what belief is, right? And when you get into trust, belief, faith, those are pretty synonymous words. They closely relate one to the other. So let's go to Proverbs 3. This is going to be a scripture that most everyone's familiar with if you're a student of the Word or if you've just been to church for a little while. So Proverbs 3 and 5 through 8. I'll read from the New Living Translation, so it might sound a little bit different. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you the path to take. But I'm going to continue on. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have the healing for your body and the strength for your bone. So what we see here, it says, first of all, in verse 5 there, trust, right? So that's our part, trust. Apply this. And what is trust? To go quickly for our refuge, right? But then, and the word is what? Then, down in verse 8, then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. So when you apply, then what does God do? Apply. You trust, then He brings what? So right here in this verse is healing for my body. So I can stand and trust to God, knowing that He'll bring healing to my body in any way that I need it. Psalm 37. And I'm going to read verses 3 through 6 here. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything that you do to the Lord. Trust Him, and He will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday. So what does he talk about here? If you trust in God, you'll live safely in the land and prosper, right? And then if we jump down into the same chapter here in verse 18 and 19, it says, day by day, the Lord takes care of the innocent, and they will receive an inheritance that lasts forever. They will not be disgraced in hard times. Even in famine, they will have more than enough. So what do we see here? By trusting in God is provision. More than enough, even when the world is in famine, right? Mm-hmm. And we see that, you know, go back to, I talk about Exodus many times. In that place where there was all these people traveling, God was their provision. He literally supernaturally rained down food for them every day. Right? So if you find yourself in the situation, as we see as the Shunammite, watch your words and speak those things that bring life and expect God to do something. Why do you think He has all these stories of the Old Testament? Why do you think He has recorded history of the ways God showed up in supernatural ways? You know, and what breaks my heart more than anything is I feel as though some of those things have got dumbed down just through the messages that we've learned through our church experiences. Like, dude, God is a God that can do anything, right? Mm-hmm. Through God, all things are possible. And if we truly start to believe that and start to speak those things, get ready to start seeing things that maybe the church of the last couple hundred years has not seen. You know, I totally believe God is waking up His church in a way to start calling forth, to start believing and agreeing and truly speaking those things so that we will see things that we have not seen for some time. Mm-hmm. We don't base our faith in God on the experiences of life, right? We don't put our faith in what life has shown us. We put our faith in God because of the truth of what His Word says, mm-hmm. and what the Holy Spirit now brings from within. We're going to speak forth those things. And guess what? If you will position yourself in that way, you will start to see things in front of you that maybe you have not seen yet. You know?
Yes.
I love that. So, trusting in God, provision in 18. Now we're going to go to Psalm. We're going to jump over to 40. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 here. I waited patiently for the Lord to help, and He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground. He steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what He has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. So as we see here in this verse, it brings what? Joy, wonder, and praise. And I love this at the end. I don't want to leave this out in verse 3 there. It says, many will see what he has done and be amazed. But well, if you go up, it's actually talking about I will wait patiently on the Lord. He's lifted me out of the pit. So how will many see what he has done and be amazed? Because people are watching, mm-hmm. right? And then what does it say after that? Then they will put their trust in the Lord. So literally you walking out your trust in the Lord before men will literally bring them into the trust of God. Proverbs 16 and 20. Then are those who listen to instruction will prosper. Those who trust the Lord will be joyful. So we see here that when we trust in God, what does it bring? It brings joy. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to jump over to Jeremiah. I know I'm speeding through these. Write these things down. Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. That's the joy of recording. You can just pause.
Right.
You can look them up. Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert and no hope for the future. They live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. I want to break this one down just a little bit. When I read that, I thought, you know, what is blessed and cursed? What does that, those two words even mean? And I quoted that scripture out of Deuteronomy 30. So this is what the word blessed, when you look at this text, means. It says to kneel, to bless Yahweh as an act of adoration. That means blessed. But I love this. But also vice versa as a benefit to men. So literally being blessed is not only us kneeling and being in adoration to God as an act of adoration, but also God as an act of adoration back to us. That's what blessed is. I thought that was really cool.
That is.
And then cursed, what does that actually mean? Cursed means to execrate. Well, what does execrate mean? It actually means to declare to be evil or detestable. So literally when it says that, cursed are those, it actually means to I declare you evil or detestable if you put your trust in humans and mere humans. Mm. Ugh. I don't ever want to be detestable for before God. I want to be blessed. I want to be adored, right, before God. So I would never put my trust in man. I always want to make sure that I put my trust in God. Mm. We're going to go over to Psalms 119, 41 and 42. Lord, give me your unfailing love, the salvation that you promised. Then I can answer those who taunt me, for I trust in your word. So we see here that as we put our trust in God's word, right? Then what do? We receive the salvation that he has promised. Psalm 33, 4 through 5. In case you hadn't noticed, Psalm talks about a lot about trusting in God. Mm-hmm. For the word of the Lord holds true, and we can trust everything he does. He loves whatever is just and good, and the unfailing love of the Lord fills the earth. So what does this tell us? It says that we can trust his actions and his spoken words, right? Psalm 32 and 10, just one back here. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust the Lord. So when we trust in God, what are we doing? We're being surrounded by love. Mm. Isaiah 26 and 3. You will keep perfect peace, all you who trust in the Lord, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. So perfect peace is brought, right? And I had some notes here. I love this. So when you look at the word peace, and this is probably pretty familiar, more so than other words, shalom, right? Mm-hmm. I even think of that movie, series, The Chosen. That's something that he's kind of brought forth a lot. And I even hear people, shalom, shalom, you know, they're telling people that. And I love that because literally when you say the word shalom, you are saying, be safe, be healthy, be prosperous, be favored. I'm calling you friend. I'm calling you to rest, and I'm calling you to be whole. So that word is like a little word is so big. There's so much in that little word. I love words. Nahum 1 and 7. How often do you read the book of Nahum? The Lord is good, a strong refuge when trouble comes. He is close to those who trust in him. So we see that when we trust in God here, he comes close. But not only does he come close, he becomes a strong refuge. What is a refuge? It's a fortified place, a defense, a rock, your strength. That's what God becomes for you when you put your strength in him. And then lastly, the one that I have here is in Isaiah 40 and 31. And if you've been writing these down, again, I encourage you, go back and dig around them a little bit. God will have some things to say through his word. Mm-hmm. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So as we see here, when we trust in God, we will find new strength. Sometimes when you're going through situations, you just need to go back and set in the trust that you have in God. Mm-hmm. And in that place, God will literally renew the strength. Because sometimes when you're going through life, it zaps it, right? But I love that scripture, too, where it talks about from within us flows a river, mm-hmm. right? That old business of, you know, I think about how many times I've heard, go get your cup filled up so you can pour it out. I say, dude, throw the cups away. You got a river inside of you. We don't empty. This well does not run dry. So in that place, you may need to go relax and rest in your trust so your strength will be renewed. But the Holy Spirit is a living well from within you, a wellspring of life. So what I thought was really cool after I got through this, and I want to read this out. God just, you know, I go in and I start looking at words on trust, and it was just like God just highlighted the ones that I was to pull out. But when I got done with this, you know, we see I pulled all the references, but then I basically went to highlight, well, this says about healing, this is about live safely, this is about precision. So I started looking at this paper. So this is what this says, all these verses, and I did not organize this. This is just how God highlighted these out to me. If I put my trust in God, I will walk in belief and it will bring healing to my body. I will live safely. I will have provision in my life, which just brings joy, wonder, and praise. I will be blessed and not cursed because I trust in the word. I can trust his action, both spoken and written. I am surrounded by love. I will walk in perfect peace because he is my refuge, and in his refuge I will be renewed. And I was like, what? Like, how cool is that?
That is
like,
good.
God just gave me a story through his word, you know? And I was like, that is so cool how he does that. And again, when I encourage people, just get into the word of God. And, you know, like some people get freaked out about, well, I don't want to Google it. Like, I just, like, God, what are you going to show me? What I do is I just go in there. I want to show me all the scriptures that have trust. But then what you'll find is God will lead you to those ones that he wants to speak to you about, you know? And that's what happened. Like, I got on my Bible tool here, and I just typed in the word trust. So it just went in every scripture about trust, but then God just began to pull out those that he wanted me to highlight, you know? And it was like, I loved it at the end of that, how he just built this whole story of trusting in God. And those are, you know, like, those are such small things, but they're huge. Like, it's so encouraging to see. Because sometimes, you know, and I don't want to quit on this, but sometimes we go through these seasons where we're like, I just don't feel like I'm hearing. Well, stop feeling and just start hearing, right?
Right.
Like, get out of those feels. And, you know, again, the story of the Shunammite woman in that way, if she would have looked to a feeling in that place, it would have taken her away from the truth of what God had to bring in that situation, which was literally from death back to life of her son, right? So do not let what the world has to say, do not let feelings or emotions have influence into the life. That's why it is so important to get into the Word of God, to allow that to become a foundation inside of you, as we've read today, that scripture, to become literally a foundation inside of you, so that from within, the abundance of the heart, then your mouth can begin to speak. And then guess what? When your mouth begins to speak, you will see things begin to change around you. Because as I've told you guys before on this show, I want you to realize we were created in the image of God, and everything that we have, everything that we see, was created by words that were spoken from his mouth. So God has created you in the same design. He has given you death and life in the power of the tongue that you have in your mouth. So make sure that when you speak, because whether you don't realize it or not, everything you speak is either speaking blessing or cursing. One of the other, there's no in between. You are speaking one of the two things. And there was one thing that Julie Green said this week. I thought, I love that. I'm going to use that. If you find yourself speaking things, if you're sowing seeds that you realize we're not in life, but we're rather in curse, then just pray and ask God for a crop failure. And I thought, when she said that, I was like, I love that. That's really good. Because we are sowing those seeds. But repent, right? What is repentance? Change my mind. Whoops, said something I shouldn't have said. So, Father, I ask for a crop failure of those words that were just spoken, right?
I like that.
I thought that was really good.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, this yesterday was my late husband's birthday. He would have been 62. And something that I've learned that the Lord spoke to me a while back was, because having lost my best friend, having him go home before me, it's hard sometimes.
Yeah.
I've had to learn how to do it all. I've had to take up the load that he used. We used to share the load, you know what I mean?
Right.
And in the 10 years now that I've learned how to take the load, I was just sitting there one day, and I said, Lord, I'm really hurting right now. And I would really love to hug my husband. But I know he's with you. I would just really love to hug you right now. And so what I did is I took my Bible, the Word of God, and I just held it and hugged it. And it helped a lot. So when I find my place, when I catch myself in that place, that's one of the things I do. That's how I hug my God. Is I take my treasure, which is my Bible, his words, and I put them up to my chest, and I just squeeze them, and it helps.
Yeah.
It helps. It's like I'm hugging him, not my husband. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm hugging my Lord, my Abba, and it really helps.
Yeah, it does.
Instead of being, instead of like you said, and like the word says, instead of speaking, and I had a real problem with that, you know, because I was not mature in the things of God,
right,
in the word of God. I wasn't mature. I wasn't even, I don't even know. I wasn't.
All been there, haven't we?
I mean, I just wasn't, you know what I mean? And as I've grown in the Word of God, he has given me little tools, little things that I can do that help. I'm that one. I'm that one. If he says it, I believe it.
Right.
And if I have a thought that lines up and I act on it, like hugging my Bible, it helps.
Right.
And I find comfort. Comfort. Comfort comes. The smallest obedience, Jason. He can do so much, and that's something he spoke to me this morning on the way. He said, if my people would just be more obedient to what I've put on their heart,
right,
instead of looking around and thinking, wow, that's kind of weird. Well, why would I do that?
Right.
Well, they're fine. Simple obedience. And he reminded me this morning, Adam and Eve in the garden with the trees, the enemy came in and disturbed their obedience.
Right.
Because they were being obedient until he slithered in and got her to step out of obedience.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I had one of those
right
moments on the way here, you know, because I was like, Lord, I don't deserve everything you're doing for me, but I love you and I thank you for it. And then that's when he came back with Adam and Eve,
yeah,
in the garden. They were being obedient.
Right.
And then here he comes slithering in and got one to step outside of the obedience,
right,
and eat the fruit. And if my people would move in more in obedience, it would change, mm-hmm, so much.
Yep.
We appreciate you coming to share.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm going to have to go back and
yes,
rewatch so I can write down the story, but the way you said it was perfect. You read over it and said it perfectly. Yeah, that's a good idea, the picture. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Tina Dobbs, my sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and our brother in Christ, Jason Mung, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.